Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency.
Thank you all for tuning in.
And welcome to the Mystery Frequency. Today we have the further adventures of Danny Clover, a New York City detective that walks the dangerous beat of Broadway. And it was very popular, with well over 200 episodes. And you can listen to more of those episodes in the archives. And while you're there, please follow, leave a review, and rate the podcast. And also feel free to check out the descriptions for show links and more information about the episode. And with all that,
please enjoy the show.
The FBI in Peace and War, ordinarily heard at this time throughout the year, is taking its usual summer vacation and will return to CBS 5 weeks from tonight on September 1st.
Broadway's my beat. From Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
Broadway, it's an enchanted island or a prison, a crazy happy dance, or a funeral march in blues time. It's a sorcerer's palace with golden mirrors and jeweled fountains, or it's a wailing wall corroded with pain. Call it anything you want. It's My Beat. One of the ways to get on my beat is to infiltrate through the grim lines of people trying to buy tickets to South Pacific. Those people are going to mutiny someday. It was about 9 in the morning and a good thing happened to me. The good thing was a kid named Paul Thomas. A sweet kid, a gentle kid. A kid who'd wrapped himself in iron to stall off the pain so many people handed to him for free.
Mr. Clover, could I talk to you for a minute?
Sure, Paul, sure. Any place, any time.
How about in the lobby here?
Okay, lobby it is. I'm sure glad to see you, Paul. It's been a long time.
Not so long, Mr. Clover. It's only 5-6 months since you got me that job. Maybe 7 months since you caught me breaking into a store.
Who remembers what happened 7 months ago? How's the job, Paul? How's it working out?
Mr. Eric Aaron's been treating me fine. He's even had me bonded so I could deliver all that jewelry and stuff.
I bet your folks are proud.
Yeah, they're real proud, Mr. Clover.
I've been meaning to get up to Harlem to visit them. Your mother's a fine woman, Paul. Give her my best.
I'll do that, Mr. Clover. Keeps asking about you.
Paul, it's a good thing to see you the way you are.
I'm in trouble, Mr. Clover. I think I'm in big trouble.
Oh? You want to tell me about it here? We could go someplace and get a quiet cup of coffee.
I better tell you about it fast, Mr. Clover. A couple of days
Sandy,
ago, they came...
Sandy, Clover, how's Broadway's Glamour Boy? How's the finest of the finest,
huh? Oh, hi, Kirk.
Am I interrupting something, Danny? The boy won't mind being interrupted, will you, boy?
Maybe I mind, Kirk.
Oh, no offense, Danny. Come on, ask me how I am. Ask me how I've been doing.
How are you? How you been doing?
Oh, great. Very, very great, Danny. Yes, sir. Don't I rate an introduction to the boy, Danny?
Paul, this is Jerry Kirk, a private investigator. Paul Thomas, Jerry Kirk.
Hi, Mr. Kirk.
Danny, you don't keep up. A smart detective like you should keep up. I'm not a private eye anymore.
No? Well, so long, Kirk. See you around.
No, no, no. I'm not a private eye anymore. I'm in the plush, Danny. Plush office, plush stipend, furnished by Acme Insurance Company. I investigate insurance losses for them. Oh, it's a lot easier than breaking down doors to haul apartments.
But not so much fun, huh, Kirk?
More, Danny, more. It even gives me the price of a couple of tickets to South Pacific here. But how about you, Danny? You still hitting the triple features in the grind houses, Danny?
Goodbye, Kirk.
Yeah, it's been swell seeing you, Danny.
I'm sorry about him, Paul. Now, tell me what's on your mind.
I can, Mr. Clover. I got to get to work. I'm late. I'm late.
Paul, Paul, come back here. That's how the day began, with a kid starting to tell me a big trouble and then running away. It was about 5 when Paul's big trouble started to catch up with me. A patrolman leaned out of a squad car and handed me a slip of paper. J. Arakarian, the paper said. It said the Paramount Building, and at the bottom it said, urgent. I'd been there before. J. Arakarian, lapidary and dealer in precious gems, was on the 14th floor. You went through a door and past the beam of an electric eye and waded through a carpet to a desk and an olive-skinned girl with tight black hair. They gave you a name and you got nodded past another beam and some carved oriental wall hangings to a young man, morning coat cut to hide the lines of his shoulder holster, and sneer cut to fit the scar that ran from his eye to the corner of his mouth. Then a chaperone hiked through another doorway. And there he was, J. Arakarian, impeccable in ascot, striped pants and a Legion of Honor ribbon in his satin lapel. He had another thing, a guest.
I asked Mr. Jerry Kirk to be with us, Lieutenant Clover, because his interests lie in the same direction as ours.
Hiya, Kirk. What's all this about?
Mr. Arakarian will tell you, Danny.
See that, Lieutenant.
What do you want to see me about, Mr. Arakarian?
About the boy you asked me to hire. About Paul Thomas.
You know Paul Thomas, don't you, Danny?
What about Paul Thomas?
Mr. Arakarian is a polite man, Danny. He's trying to tell you the kid absconded with an awful lot of jewelry.
Please. This matter is very dolorous to me.
$100,000 worth, Danny.
How about letting Mr. Arakarian tell it his way, huh, Kirk?
He was just phrasing it neatly. $100,000, Danny.
Right now, you just listen, Kirk. What did Paul Thomas do, Mr. Arakarian?
He failed to deliver a consignment. Failed to let me know the reason why. He has been gone since this morning. Disappeared.
Like a puff of smoke, huh, Mr. Arakarian? That's what you said?
They assign a bright eye like you to this, Kirk?
Like me, Danny.
Mr. Jerry Kirk is from the insurance company. In a matter like this, one thinks of insurance.
In a case like this, one also thinks of how maybe Paul got slugged. One also thinks he could have been robbed, Mr. Arakarian. Paul Thomas turns up in an alley, Kirk. Slugged. A bet?
Yeah, sure. I know human nature, Danny. He's gone a long way with those rocks. Absconded. He's stolen.
In a matter like this, the amount is not a pittance, Lieutenant. $100,000 worth of first water gems, jewel cases, settings.
Got a list of what's missing?
Right here. You see? It makes not an inconsiderable...
Yeah, it's not inconsiderable.
It is very dolorous, Lieutenant. You'll get them back?
Dolorous means it can make you cry. But Arakarian's dolorous was different from mine. His was $100,000 he'd lost. Mine was a boy named Paul Thomas that maybe I'd lost. But it was still only a maybe. I had two things to do. Turn the list of missing jewels into headquarters, which I did. Then call at Paul's home in Harlem. Harlem is a guilt and a scar and a wound. And the wound is a tenement lighted by kerosene lamps. A tenement with barred windows through which you can watch the moonlight darting out on the backs of hungry rats. And Harlem is a place of quiet laughter that stops when it sees you walking up the stairs to the one room in which Paul's family of 5 live.
Yes? Oh, it's Mr. Clover.
Hi, Mrs. Thomas.
I hardly expected to. Please forgive the way I look.
Oh, you look fine, Mrs. Thomas, fine. May I come in?
Why, of course, of course. The children outside playing.
It's just as well, Mrs. Thomas. I want to talk to you.
Please sit down, Mr. Clover.
Sue?
Is it about Paul?
Well, did you see him last, Mrs. Thomas?
This morning. He stopped by on his way to work. Is there anything...
He doesn't live here anymore?
No, Mr. Clover. Paul's a man now, and he needs a place of his own.
Where is it, Mrs. Thomas?
Is my boy in trouble, Mr. Clover?
Well, we don't know. I don't think so, but I have to be sure. Where's his place, Mrs. Thomas?
It's a rooming house on 137th Street, 26 East. It's clean. You can actually see the sun. Paul couldn't do anything wrong. Not anymore, Mr. Clover. Paul's good. He's good.
He hasn't been by here tonight.
No, but that doesn't mean anything. Lots of times he doesn't come by at night, but he'll be here in the morning. He's always here for breakfast in the morning.
Well, I think I'll run over to that address you gave me, Mrs. Thomas. Sorry I can't stay and visit with you.
You'll let me know about my boy, Mr. Clover. Whatever way it is, you let me know.
It'll be all right, Mrs. Thomas. It has to be all right. Outside, it was one block north and two to my left of the subway station at 125th and Lenox. In those three blocks, you could feel the breeze from the East River fighting a losing battle with the heat. But it wasn't the heat that stopped me. It was Squad Car 15, Patrolman Florio at the controls. Not bad, Florio. Three-point landing.
Hi, Lieutenant. Come on, get in.
Thanks. You headed uptown?
Well, that depends, Lieutenant. Wherever you say.
Uptown?
Yeah, you better call headquarters first. I've been cruising, looking for you. Headquarters said you were in Harlem.
Yeah, call them, Florio.
Sure. Patrol Car 15 calling headquarters. Come in. Patrol Car 15 calling headquarters.
Headquarters receiving Patrol Car 15. Go ahead, 15.
All right, take it, Danny.
Yeah. Danny Clover speaking.
Danny, Tartaglia speaking. Log on our carrying robbery. Guy named Jerry Kurt calls you.
Yeah?
Said he wanted you there when he took Paul Thomas.
Oh, where's all this taking place?
137th Street, a condemned tenement, three houses beneath the northeast corner on Lenox. 10 o'clock, the guy said.
That's right now, Tartaglia. Thanks. Let's go, Florio. You heard the man.
Right.
Florio.
Yeah, Lieutenant?
You're only giving me a lift down the block. Turn off that siren, huh?
Hello, Danny. Glad you showed.
Headquarters said you had Paul. You got him, Kurt?
He's in that tenement, Danny.
But he materialized out of that puff of smoke. How do you know he's in there?
Look, Danny, a guy steals $100,000 worth of jewelry. It's hot. He can't get rid of it. So he makes a deal with the insurance company. The deal Paul made was for 15 grand.
He got in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. He said meet him here. So I got in touch with you. I'm double-crossing him, Danny. I called in the cops. You wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, let's go in. And Kirk, keep your gun in your pocket.
Danny, you know I seldom carry a gun, and tonight's one occasion when I don't.
Come on.
Hey, pretty dark. Lucky I brought a flash.
Paul. Paul Thomas.
Let me handle it, Kirk. Paul. Paul, it's Danny Clover. Paul. Maybe he isn't here, Kirk.
He's here. That sound came from down in the basement.
Hey, Kirk, somebody's shooting downstairs and not at us.
Yes, and somebody's taking a pounder, too.
Let's get him.
Don't you think it's time you got out your gun, Danny?
Yeah, it's all changed now. Hey.
Huh?
Shine your light over there.
Where?
Back of the staircase.
Yeah. Hey, Danny. A body. Danny, look, he's got a gun.
Paul.
He's dead, Danny. Your boy's dead.
Why was he killed?
He was a bad boy, Danny. A bad boy with bad company, and the company just took a powder. How do you like your boy now, Danny?
You are listening to Broadway's My Beat with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. crime photographer finds an innocent-eyed young woman riding a murder-go-round tonight. As he joins her, his girlfriend, reporter Ann Williams, and Ethelbert, the magnificent bartender, caution him to go slow. For a merry ride with murder, join Casey and his pals tonight. And also be around for Second Class Passenger, another thrilling study in Escape. Crime Photographer and Escape are Thursday night features of most of these same CBS stations. Now, back to Broadway's My Beat.
One thing about Broadway, you can become a name overnight. All you have to do is have three current wives or ride four winners in a row. Or you can do it the way Paul Thomas did. Get caught up in a $100,000 jewel theft. Keep your mouth shut about it by being found dead in a Harlem tenement. Not that Paul Thomas would make much of a splash, but he would make a fast 30 seconds conversation piece over cheesecake and coffee. A cop uses up the night begging, pleading, grubbing for a break in a murder case. Then he goes home and begs for sleep. And in the morning he goes back to his office at headquarters and starts all over again. And that's where it broke. Come in. Come in. Come in.
Danny. Danny, open your eyes. I got a surprise for you.
You open them, I'm tired.
I got something on the Paul Thomas case.
What?
Yeah, see? You opened your eyes all by yourself. It's not hard, is it, Danny?
I could close yours just as easy. What do you got?
Well, one of the Arakarian jewels showed up at a pawn shop.
When?
10:30 last night.
10:30? That was after Paul's murder. How come you wait till now to give it to me?
Easy, Danny. Take it easy.
All right, but how come?
Larry of Larry's Pawn Shops Limited just phoned it in. Says he didn't get our list till 10 this morning.
Larry, sir. Give me a squad car, Tartaglia. I'll pick it up up front.
Okay. Danny.
Yeah?
I know what this means to you. Sorry I kidded.
That's okay, Sergeant. It's okay. But get that squad car, huh?
Danny, boy. Danny, you. This is quite an honor.
Hi, Larry.
Hi. I could have saved you the trip if you just called me.
I needed the air. Okay, Larry, what do you got?
Danny, do you mind stepping in the back room? I'm trying to close a deal. Sometimes it embarrasses my clientele to see me consorting with a detective.
Ain't it a shame? Give it to me, Larry, and quick.
Well, Danny, this isn't like you.
You want me to show you what I can really be like?
Okay, Danny. Okay, I'll get it for you. Think it over, mister. I'll be right with you. Here it is, Danny. Here you see?
Hmm?
This diamond ring matches up exactly with the one on the Arcarian list you boys sent. If I say so myself, it's a beauty.
Yeah, but who pawned it?
It's on the ticket. A girl named Ellen West lives at this address on 115th Street. At least that's the name of the address she gave me.
Well, you know where to send it. Send the ring.
It hurts me to part with it. See, isn't it polite the way I cooperate with you boys, Danny? You'll remember it, won't you?
Sure. By the way, what did you give the girl for the ring?
It's worth $2,000. I gave her $600.
Can't hear you, Larry. How much?
$600.
Still can't hear.
It was worth $2,000. I gave her $600. Danny, I could kill you. Hey, mister, you didn't hear what I said. I was just kidding. Pay no attention. I didn't mean it. I'm ready to offer you a little more.
The girl whose name might be Ellen West lived in a street that might have been anywhere. Could have been a market street in the slums of Madrid or Rome or Athens or New Orleans. It could have been anywhere. But right now it was under the bridge of the New York, New Haven, and Hartford Railroad. Right now it was a street where Paul's murderer might be waiting in a dark room behind a locked door, waiting for a knock that had to come.
Yes? Who is it?
The police. Open up.
Please. Why you come here? I haven't done anything.
You, Ellen West?
That's right. That's my name. How you know my name? I don't know you.
I'm Danny Clover, Ellen. Broadway Special Detail. I'd like to ask you some questions.
Mr. Danny Clover.
Huh?
Paul told me a lot about you. Please come in, Mr. Clover.
Thanks. You knew Paul Thomas?
I knew him. I knew him better than anybody. We were going to be married.
How old are you? 16, Ellen?
18, going on 19. That's not too young to get married, Mr. Clover. I mean, it wouldn't have been.
Ellen, you pawned a ring yesterday. Where'd you get it? Did Paul give it to you?
Where would Paul get a ring like that, Mr. Clover?
Where'd you get it, Ellen?
Came in the mail.
Oh, you have the package it came in?
I threw it away, Mr. Clover. I threw it away. Because I didn't want to know where to send it back.
Maybe you should have given it to the police.
Maybe I should have done what I did. I got $600 for that ring, Mr. Clover. With $600, two people like Paul and me could get married.
Did you tell Paul about the ring?
I didn't see Paul yesterday, Mr. Clover. I didn't see him to tell him about the ring. Or anything. I've got so much to tell him.
Paul's mother said he had a room of his own. Did you ever see it?
I saw it. I met his roommate, Joe Kendall.
His roommate?
Well, not exactly. You see, Mr. Clover, where Paul lived, that room of his own, that was just a place where he could sleep for 8 hours. Joe Kendall had it for the other 8 hours. They do that a lot up here.
Yeah, I know, I know. Well, that's all, Ellen. Just one thing. You won't go away.
Where would I go, Mr. Clover? Mr. Clover?
Yes, Ellen.
Here's the $600. I got no use for it now.
The hotbed address of Paul's roommate, Joe Kendall, didn't pan out. But a suddenly forgetful landlord suddenly regained his memory when he put on a pair of wire-rimmed glasses and examined my police badge. His cooperation from that instant was a thing of joy. Joe Kendall was working right now, mister. Joe Kendall worked in the change booth in the subway station at 59th Street.
You want some change, mister?
No, sir. Information.
What kind of information?
Your name's Joe Kendall?
That all depends on what connection the name's being used.
In connection with the police.
Now, show me.
Try this.
Yeah. Yeah, that badge says you're the police. Says my name's Joe Kendall. What can I do for you, Lieutenant?
About Paul Thomas, Joe.
I read about him in the papers this morning. I'm sorry about Paul.
How sorry?
Lieutenant? Now, wait a minute. Now, here you are, lady. Two dimes and a nickel. Lieutenant, it's this way.
Maybe I asked you a bad question, Joe.
Not at all. I'm sorry about Paul, Lieutenant. As sorry as I am for any man who died the way Paul did.
What about Paul? What did he tell you about himself?
Well, things like I'm tired, Joe. That's what he used to say to me. When he woke me up because it was his turn to sleep, he'd tell me things like that.
That's all?
Other things too, Lieutenant, but that was the general idea.
Something else, Joe. That ring on your finger. Where'd you get it?
Are you going to believe me? Okay, Lieutenant. I'll tell you anyhow. I got it in the mail yesterday.
You should have let the police know.
I should have, but I didn't. Maybe I was going to. Maybe I was going to pawn it. I don't know.
You better let me have it.
Sure, sure. Here. Take it. Lieutenant, I'm in trouble now, huh?
I guess right now you come under a couple of laws in the penal code, Joe, but which one escapes me? Just don't run away.
I'll be here, Lieutenant. Here or in Harlem, one place or the other.
It was a decision I had to make about the girl, Ellen West, and about Joe Kendall. And it was a decision I made. They turned up with a part of the missing jewelry and a strange story how they'd got it, and I didn't book them. I didn't put a tail on them. If they told the truth, it gelled an idea that was shaping itself. If they'd lied, I'd know it before the day was over. Back at headquarters, I made out my report that way and turned it in. Then there was nothing to do but trade stares with Sergeant Tartaglia and wait for the report from the technical boys.
Well, I don't know, Danny. I don't know. I'm not sure you did the right thing. Those two might have been holding back.
Technical lab reports, Lieutenant. Ballistics, chemical, prints.
All of them. Thanks.
Okay, Lieutenant.
Ballistics, nothing. No, I figured there'd be nothing there. Hey. So long, Tartaglia.
Hey, Danny, where you going?
Take a look at those reports. They'll make your red face even redder.
Those photoelectric eyes wink even at you, huh, Carrion?
They make no distinction, Lieutenant, between friend or enemy. They're ever alert, ever suspicious.
Yeah. You kept me waiting a long time, Carrion.
A jeweler has many things to take care of, Lieutenant. Sometimes you must keep even the police waiting. But you're not lonely. Did not Monsieur Atu amuse you?
Oh, so that's his name. No, your flunky Atu didn't amuse me. He's so silent, so sinister, is that the word?
It's a good word for Atu.
Tell me, Atu, that shoulder holster you wear under your morning coat, how do you avoid a bulge? You must have a good tailor. I wish I had a tailor like that.
I will send you the name of Atu's tailor, Lieutenant. That all you wanted?
That's just part of it. I'd like to have a look at your vaults.
You wish to buy some jewelry, Holster?
No, I just like to find some lost jewelry. Stolen, it says on this list. Stolen from a Mr. Arakarian. That's why I'd like to have a look at your vaults.
You're insane, but I will humor you. But first, a trifle. You have a warrant, Lieutenant?
Now, what do you know about that? I clean forgot to get myself a warrant. But as you say, it's a trifle. Now, how about the vaults?
I do not think so, Lieutenant. In your country, I've learned to do everything. Comme il faut.
How?
Comme il faut. Translation, as it should be.
Thanks. I like to learn new words.
A warrant would be as it should be.
Then I'll just have to get the vault open myself.
Atu!
Tell your flunky to take his hands off me.
Atu is a very difficult man to tell things to. Not only does he not talk often he does not listen.
Tell him to take his hands off me.
Perhaps you could persuade him yourself, Lieutenant.
Yeah, perhaps I could. Oh, Atu, I went and spoiled your croesus.
You release me, I
Well, Kirk, the eminent investigator, today on occasion for carrying a gun. You didn't have to shoot Arakarian.
I did, Danny. To save you from getting knocked off, I had to do just that.
Save me? What are you talking about?
Well, look at him. Look at Arakarian's hand. He was just getting ready to pull a Luger.
Yeah. Okay, Kirk, this wraps it up. Let me have your gun.
Huh? What for?
Ballistics will want it to check it against the slugs in the body.
But you saw me shoot him, Danny.
The gun, Kirk.
Are you off your rocker, Danny?
The gun.
I've got a permit for this gun.
The gun! Oh, ow. Yeah. Thanks for the gun.
Oh, sure. Sure, Danny, now that I know you were sincere about wanting it. Well, like you said, this wraps it up. You figured it a little ahead of me, that's all.
Tell me how.
Oh, easy. Arakarian never parts with the jewels and reports them stolen for insurance money.
Yeah, true. Tell me, Kirk, how do you figure Paul Thomas figures?
Also simple. Arakarian tells the kid to make it look like the kid ran away. Well, maybe Arakarian wanted to do it another way, and the kid balked.
Yeah, that's right, Kirk. Paul came to me yesterday and started to tell me he was in trouble. It adds up, huh?
It adds up neat.
You know what else? Two of the gems showed up with two of Paul's friends. Arakarian mailed them to throw off suspicion.
Clever, real clever.
Yeah, but here's the twist. The gun Paul was holding in that tenement cellar had no fingerprints on it.
Huh?
He was dead before he went in that tenement, Kirk. Dead men leave no prints. Paul Thomas was dead before I saw you, Kirk.
Hey, that is a twist.
That scene in the condemned tenement. You and Arakarian staged it. That's why I want your gun. To check it against the slugs they took from Paul's body.
You're crazy, Danny.
Listen, how else I'm crazy. You killed Paul. You propositioned him and he had none of it, so you killed him. And you killed Arakarian so he wouldn't implicate you.
You stink, copper. You stink, but you won't kick me!
I've been waiting for you to do that, Kirk. Waiting.
Ow!
That's for Paul. Ah! For Paul. For Paul. Ah! What stopped me was something gentle. A tap on the shoulder, it was all. But it stopped me. Man from headquarters looked down at me, and his tap was gentle. He said that was enough. I quit, but I didn't believe him. He said Kirk was something the law had to take care of. Then I had to believe him, because I'm a cop. In the mid-afternoon heat, Broadway is a desert. A desert littered with mirages of what might be men or women. You touch some, and they vanish. You touch others and they snarl and slink away. It's real or it's phantom. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway, my beat.
Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover, is produced and directed by Gordon T. Hughes, with script by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. Musical direction is by Lud Gluskin. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station, for Broadway's My Beat. Mr. Keene, the famed tracer of lost persons, goes to society tonight. Knowing Mr. Keene, you realize at once that it's not so much the question of which fort, but which suspect. Mr. Keene's latest adventure, the Society Murder Case, will follow in just a few moments on most of these same CBS network stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
The FBI and Peace and War, ordinarily heard at this time throughout the year, is taking its usual summer vacation and will return to CBS 4 weeks from tonight on September 1st.
Broadway's My Beat, from Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
Broadway, it's a promise you make to yourself in some dismal part of your life, or it's a name you say like a curse. It's a place of golden women in mirrors of chrome, Or it's a beggar who will tear off a piece of his soul for a cup of coffee. It's anything you want, any time you want it. And it's my beat. By 9 o'clock, police headquarters had settled down to its nighttime routine. So far, business was slow. I was sitting in my office straightening out the detail sheets that always accumulated on my desk.
Lieutenant Clover, good evening, sir.
Well, Dr. McClure, Dr. Robbie McClure, it's a pleasure to see you. Sit down, sit down.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Lieutenant.
Hey, what's the matter? What's the matter, Doctor? You look pale.
Well, I could give you all the clinical reasons for the way I look. Now, Lieutenant.
Let me get you something, Doctor. I'll be right...
No, wait, Lieutenant. Last month, there was a shooting. It's not that I want to confess to. It's the thing about... you should know about... Last month, the murder that the police never solved. Daddy, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that...
Dr. McClure. Dr. Zartaglia.
Yeah, Danny.
Come here.
Yeah. Well, what's the trouble, Danny?
Close the door.
Well, that's all... Danny, what's the matter with Doc McClure?
He's dead.
What?
Put this coat aside. You'll see why.
Oh, Danny.
From the size of the wound, I'd say it was from a .22 fired from up close. Tartaglia.
Yeah?
Call downstairs and tell him about Dr. McClure. Then get a detail to find out everything you can about the doctor. Friends, relatives, bank account, everything.
Right.
And in the morning, I want the files on every murder that happened about 30 days ago. Unsolved murders. On my desk in the morning.
Right.
Good. I'll see you.
Where are you going, Danny?
I'm going to wind back McClure's life. I'm going to find out why he had to die. The great buildings of the city lean against the night in crazy, tilted angles, like lighted toys deserted by a sleepy giant. And there's the feeling that unless you walk carefully, you'll upset their insane balance. But Dr. Robbie McClure's office building was different. It sat square and solid on its haunches, and when you pressed the night buzzer, it growled at you.
Well, sure, my mare, but it's Danny Clover to Torbert. Canter in, me boy, canter in.
Oh, same old Pippin.
No, not the same, Danny. There are bald spots in me fetlocks that I ain't so quick to break from the starting gate like I used to. From a dashing, mounted policeman to a savvy night watchman. Ah, that's a bitter pasture, Danny, me boy, a bitter pasture.
Maybe you're wrong, Pippin. Maybe it's sweet pasture and you don't know it. Pippin, you know Dr. Robbie McClure, don't you?
Sure I do. A great surgeon. But what a waste.
How do you mean?
Sure he was a genius. Should he have been a veterinarian. What else could I mean, Danny?
What else, of course. You know what time he left his office tonight?
I do. I have it right here in my book. Now, let me take a look. Oh, yes. Here it is. 8:40 in the PM.
Was he alone?
No. He was in the company of the sleekest, prettiest, raciest-looking Phileas in my treasure since I cavorted in the boat of police.
Did you have her signature?
Oh, no. She was a doctor's patient. A guest or best bet for tomorrow. Night watchmen are discreet, Danny. Some ladies, they don't ask to sign out.
Well, ask them from now on, Pippet.
Huh?
I mean it. Have you got any idea where they went?
No, Danny, but they took a cab in that hack stand out there in front.
Did you see whose cab they took?
Yes, I did. I opened the door for them. They took Irv Newman's cab. If you want nerve, you'll probably find him at his home. I know those hackish critters, you know.
Well, thanks, Pivot. If you get a lump of sugar in the mail, it's from me.
What do you want?
Hey, it's Danny.
Hi, Irv.
Hey, Rose, it's Danny.
Who?
Danny Clover of New York Finest.
Are you
going to
help me wash the dishes already?
Pay no attention to Rose, Danny. She's moody tonight. Come on in.
Thanks, Irv.
Now, sit down, Danny. Sit down.
Irv,
I offer you something? A glass of tea? A cold beer? I got it. How about one of Rose's blinches, huh? Hey, Rose!
Never mind, Irv. Don't bother Rose.
What's the bother? Even if she's moody, she can't rasp you up a blink.
Oh, I'm here on business, Irv. Some other time.
Oh, business? Hey, Rose!
Huh?
Come here.
Huh?
Shut off Caruso.
Huh?
Make quiet Caruso.
Like you, Caruso.
Caruso. Now we'll talk, Danny. What kind of business brings you down here to Orchard Street, the land of the Knish and the Bagel?
Pippet told me you drove Dr. McClure somewhere tonight, Irv. Where'd you drive him?
Park Avenue. Yeah, here's the address, Danny. I was just making out my records.
Thanks. Was he alone?
At first, no. Later, yes.
Translation?
First, he is with a doll. Lean over, Danny. Rose shouldn't hear. A Zostic-type doll. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Then he is without the doll. Around 50, she opens the door of the hack and slips out into the traffic. McClure tells me to keep going. I think they had an argument.
What about it?
Danny, I'm the type to eavesdrop, especially when they shut that glass panel.
The address Irv Newman gave me was a study in millionaire respectability. Scrub Park Avenue, Brownstone. The butler took my hat and sighed and told me it was all right to go down the corridor into the living room if I tiptoed. I did. Then all of a sudden it hit me. The light from a couple hundred bulbs set in a crystal chandelier. And when I finally squinted through it, I couldn't quite believe it. It wasn't the size of the room. That was only about 100 yards long. It was the walls, from ceiling to floor, and all the way, the walls were decked with murals. Mother Goose murals. Paintings of every fairy tale and nursery rhyme character in the book. And on the floor, smack dab between Marjorie Daw and her seesaw and Jack and his beanstalk, sat a man. He was wearing three things. A goatee, a full dress, and a beanie. Three propeller type.
Well, hello there.
And hello to you.
My butler said your name was Danny Clover. But my butler lies. What is your name, sir?
Danny Clover.
You see what I mean? Grab a toy out of the toy box, sir, and sit down.
Mr. Fletcher.
Here, take my latest product. Child psychologists claim it's remarkable for improving the coordination and tactile responses of a four-year-old.
Really? Has it helped you?
Immeasurably. We place the ball in the cup, so. Then we squeeze this lever, so.
Yep.
Then we catch the ball. Oops, we missed.
Oh, I guess we overestimated ourselves. Now, Mr. Fletcher.
Oh, well, call me Fletch. Don't stand on ceremony just because I'm the president.
Oh, does Margaret know?
Huh? Oh, no. I mean the president of the Fletcher Toy Company. I make toys for children, sir. I bring gay bits of sunshine into their otherwise drab little lives. And, as you see, I test my products before I market them. Incidentally, sir, what is your business?
Police?
Stop
your screaming. You'll wake up Snow White over there.
Sir, what right have you to be in my house?
Well, technically none, Mr. Fletcher, but there's a little matter of...
A matter of invasion of privacy. What do you want?
Was Dr. McClure here this evening? Dr. Robin McClure.
In a word, yes.
Why was he here?
I'm his patient. Is that a good medicinal reason?
Simply sterile. Are you a sick man, Mr. Fletcher? You don't look sick.
Dr. McClure says I'm a hypochondriac. But he gives me pills. I take them. They make me feel better. Ergo, I must have been sick before I took the pills.
One more thing, Mr. Fletcher. Who was with Dr. McClure?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, maybe she stayed in the cab that brought him here. Who was she, Mr. Fletcher?
Oh, that one. Yes. I peeked out the window and saw her waiting in the cab. Oh, beautiful, isn't she? Oh, striking. One of the most striking women I ever saw.
I flew at the top propeller in Fletcher's beanie, and then the butler came in and ushered me out in the downdraft. Lying must have been one of the little games they played in that million-dollar house. Fletch said the butler lied. Then Fletcher lied about a girl he hadn't seen, a girl who was a question mark or an answer in the murder of Dr. Robbie McClure. If I was going to wind back McClure's life, I needed some sleep. All that got wound up were the sheets in my bed. And in the morning, I started it all over again in the good doctor's office.
You're early. The doctor hasn't come in yet. You'll have to wait.
Everything about her was anonymous. The white shoes, the white stockings, the starched white uniform, the starched white face, and the mouth, scarlet and thin, that she wore like a ribbon of merit.
For a new patient, fill out this card, please.
Not a patient, the police. Lieutenant Danny Clover, Broadway Special Detail.
Oh? Did Dr. McClure ask you to come here?
You could say it that way. I'm here to investigate his death.
What? You mean something's happened to him?
He died in my office. He was murdered.
I don't believe.
Oh, I'm sorry you had to be told like that, but we don't always have time to be gentle. You were his nurse, Miss?
Tell you. You know, I had an agglutination test to make on some Rh negative blood, Lieutenant. May I do that? Why do you investigate?
Go right ahead. Where do I find the doctor's patient record?
In that metal file box.
You've been with the doctor long, Miss Sylvia?
3 years. Pardon me, Lieutenant. I need that slide.
It's the usual question. Did he have any enemies?
You knew him. What do you think, Lieutenant?
Doesn't matter what I think.
He was a fine man. Generous and kind. I'll need that slide.
Oh, sorry. This is strange.
In the patient's file? What strange, Lieutenant?
This card has a name and a date. All the other cards are filled with case histories. All this has is a name and a date. Dorothy Rivers, June 29th. Isn't that strange, Miss Elliot?
The files were the doctor's responsibility. He had his own way of keeping.
Then you don't know anything about a patient named Dorothy Rivers or this date?
Nothing, Lieutenant.
May I take this with me?
You're the police. You do anything you like. I'll have to turn the lights out now, Lieutenant, for the test.
Go ahead, Miss Elliot. Go ahead. This will do for now. And thank you, Miss Elliot.
Goodbye, Lieutenant. Miss Rivers? Miss Dorothy Rivers? Dr. McClure's office. We advise a rest, a long rest in a quiet place.
You are listening to Broadway's My Beat with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. If murder should suddenly explode in your face, you'd know how Casey, crime photographer, feels tonight in the drama titled Sellout. That's exactly what happens to Casey. A routine newspaper case suddenly erupts into a savage murder mystery which requires the sharpest thinking and fastest action of the crime photographer to solve. Crime Photographer is yours for the listening every Thursday evening, as is the other thriller, Escape. Tonight, Escape brings you Langen versus the Ant, a top story of harrowing adventure on a top program. Remember Escape and Crime Photographer tonight over most of these same CBS stations. Now, back to Broadway's My Beat.
There's this thing about Broadway. It can tickle you under the chin and make clucking noises, or it can slap your heart across the mouth and laugh. Either way, you get hurt. Right now, the receiving end of the slap was the police department for various and sundry unsolved murders. And the laugh, the big laugh, the cold laugh, was that a man named Dr. Robbie McClure had come to my office to die. And I didn't know who'd killed him. I sat at my desk at headquarters, tearing the tabloids into a noose of paper dolls, when Sergeant Tartaglia opened the door and with a fine Italian flourish lay a thick paper-bound file in front of me.
For you, my lieutenant.
Your memoir, Sergeant? What is it?
It's only what you ask for. A file on one of our more recent unsolved murders.
Get it out of here. Get it out of my sight.
Huh? Hey, Danny, you sick or something?
Oh, all right. All right, leave it.
I also have here in my pocket the dope you wanted on Dr. Robbie McClure. Here, read it.
Pocket to me, sir. I'm sick of reading.
There are some interesting items, Danny, about the good doctor. Item. Friends, numerous and friendly, all with alibis. Item. Relatives, none. The doctor was a lonesome man.
Are your wife and kids, Sir Tegner?
Oh, great, Danny, just great. Hey, you should see the latest, little Christina.
I bet she's a doll. Go on with the item.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Item. And this is the one I think will interest you, Danny. On June 30th, Dr. Robbie McClure made a deposit in the Corn Exchange Bank in Bronxville. 10,000 crisp, cool, clean dollars.
June 30th, huh? Now you can talk to me about the recent unsolved murder.
As follows. A man named Martin James was murdered in his Sutton Place penthouse apartment at a party night of June 29th.
Yeah?
He was asked to step outside and he was murdered. Martin had a gun. He fired one shot. The bullet from Martin James' gun was never found. We figured it took off across First Avenue.
Tartaglia, there's a doctor's patient card over on the table over there. Tell me what it says on it.
Sure, Danny, sure. It says, Dorothy Rivers, June 29th.
See a name like that on the James guest list?
Now, wait a minute, Danny. Yeah, here it is, Dorothy Rivers, in the alphabetical list with a lot of other girls.
Is your address there?
All the girls have the same address.
What? Say that again.
They all have the same address, the Tony Seville Model Agency.
Pataglia, here's a fin. Buy your doll, Christina, a doll or something.
Oh, thanks, Danny, thanks. But there's something I think you should know.
About Christina?
About Dorothy Rivers. The records say she never showed up at that party. She was never there at all.
Tony Seville paid rent for his model agency in the Empire State Building. For this, he received the privilege of maintaining a 10-room suite on the 40th floor and decorating it with orchids and genuine new trills. The other decorations were too numerous to mention. Delicate shadings of blonde and brunette. When they crossed their legs, the silk whispered. I started to whisper back, but a scented haze with magenta fingertips beckoned me into an inner office. She closed the door behind her, and all I was left with was a pork barrel and a double-breasted pinstripe named Tony Seville.
My secretary whispered you are a policeman. How have I trespassed? I parked my car incorrectly, perhaps. I forgot to curb my dog.
Let's stop rubbing noses, huh?
I beg your pardon?
Let's put it this way, simple and blunt. There's some questions I want you to answer for me.
You must have a dull profession, asking questions. Very well. Ask a question.
Mr. Seville, your agency supplied a half dozen models to a party at the home of Martin James. Said party a little over a month ago, June 29th. Said home a penthouse on Sutton Place, right?
Possibly right. However, don't underline your details with a sneer. My agency furnishes models as decorative baubles to any social function.
One of your decorations on the evening I'm interested in was named Dorothy Rivers. How do I get in touch with it?
You're a detective. Detect.
What's her address, Seville?
May I suggest a dragnet, detective, or any of the numerous machinations you police are oh so adept at?
Her address, Seville. Where do I find her?
You should be told. We only give the models of death to an approved client. I don't approve of you.
Look, kid, sometimes I can forget I'm a cop. I can forget right now.
I think you mean it.
Yeah, try being cozy for one more second.
I don't know where Dorothy Rivers is. I haven't seen her enough.
You can do better than that.
The day after the party, she phoned. She said she was going on a vacation.
You're doing fine, Seville. Keep it up.
There's nothing more. I tried to get in touch with her several times since. She checked out of the hotel. She left no forwarding address.
You're telling the truth, aren't you, Seville?
The truth is this. As far as I know and care, Dorothy Rivers could be dead.
Beginning at the 40th floor, I picked petals off a tired daisy. At the 38th, Dorothy Rivers was dead. 37th, she wasn't dead. 36th, dead. 35th, not dead. I don't remember how it came out, because when I got off at the ground floor and walked into the yellow heat of 34th Street, a character stopped me by tapping me lightly on the leg with the front bumper of his cab. The character was the character named Irv Newman.
Don't look so scared, Danny. Brakes, I got it. Could stop this cab on a thin latke.
Latke schmatke, so long as I got my health.
You're charming, Danny. Absolutely charming. Hey, show me at headquarters. I'd find you around here. I got something for you.
One of Rose's blinkers?
Maybe better than that yet. You know what Gurney was asking me about? The one I picked up with Dr. McClure, the professional man?
What about it?
I spotted her for you, Danny.
Where? Tell me where.
So let me tell you. Happens I got a friend, Danny, a truck driver. He's a peach of a fella. His name is Clem. Every morning gives me a push with the truck so I can start this lousy hack.
Why did you spot the girl, Irv?
So I'm telling you. While Clem is pushing me with his truck and I'm gliding along in my hack like in a gondola, I see this girl coming out of a building.
What building?
6 West 23rd Street. So I turn around, I wave to Clem. He should stop already. Danny! Danny, didn't let me finish!
Miss Rivers?
Who are you?
I want to talk to you, Miss Rivers.
By what right? I don't know you. Get away from here. Get away.
Go inside, Miss Rivers.
Who are you? What do you want?
I'm Danny Clover. I'm a police detective, Miss Rivers. Been through a lot to get to you. You'd get along a lot better if you just settled down.
Why do you want to see me?
I've read somewhere that grief can make a woman even more lovely. You look like you've been grieving.
Don't be clever with me. I'm sick of clever men.
Maybe I can help you.
You, a policeman?
Me, a policeman.
Oh. It's all over now, isn't it, Mr. Clover?
Just about.
You want to know what happened at Martin James' party, isn't that it?
The guest list said you were invited, but you weren't checked off. That mean you weren't there?
I was there. Through the back entrance, Mr. Clover, because he said that was the way it should be done.
Who? What should have been done that way?
Look, Look, Mr. Clover, I'll tell you what happened. I owe it to myself to tell you what happened. I'm tired of pain, pain, pain.
That's it, huh? Blackmail.
Let me tell you from the beginning what happened. Perhaps you'll even believe me.
You'd be surprised, Miss Rivers. Policemen can believe the truth.
Martin James was a man who made investments in all sorts of deals, a kind of silent partner. One of the partners was a man named Fletcher.
Man with a goatee?
He manufactured toys, Mr. Clover. I went to the party with him. Mr. Clover.
What's the matter?
Mr. Clover! The window!
He's gone. Who was it? Who did you see?
I.
Maybe you should have told me his name, Mr. Rivers. Now you don't owe anybody anything.
Even as a coroner, I say it's a shame, Danny. Such a beautiful girl. Shame.
Yeah, it's a shame. What I've been waiting for is your report.
Dorothy Rivers. Age about 24. Bullet entered left sternum, pierced pericardium. That's the heart, Danny. Dead on arrival.
Dead all?
This girl was shot once before. She's got a healing wound that, looks mighty like a bullet wound. It's right here, Danny.
Yeah, that makes it all add up. That makes it add up just fine, Corner. Neat. Real, real neat. Hello, Fletcher. This is a friend, Fletcher. The payoff goes on just the same. Tonight, kid, 9:00. So long, Fletcher. It took me 10 minutes to get to the Park Avenue palace that Fletcher had built out of psychological toys for kids. Across the street, I took a plant behind a fat, uniformed doorman who kept looking at me out of the corner of his fat eyes as if he were terribly sorry a thing like me had ever happened under his gilt-fringed canopy. At 8:30, the lights in Fletcher's crystal chandelier began to go out in sections. In 5 minutes, he was on the street, hailing a cab. I tossed a nickel to my fat doorman, hailed a cab of my own, and tailed Fletcher to an office building I'd been in once before. I watched him slip Tippett a bill and then walk down the corridor to a self-service elevator. I thought it'd be nice if he had company on his lonesome ride. He didn't.
Police! Why am I constantly surrounded by police?
Maybe because you bring sunshine into my drab life, Fletcher. You know how to work this thing?
But of course. It's nothing but a toy.
Allow me, anyway. It's the fourth floor you want, isn't it?
Well, no, not at all.
Humor me, Fletcher. Let's make it four. Right down this hall, 438, Dr. McClure's office. That's where you want to go, isn't it, Mr. Fletcher?
There are obviously some titillating gyrations going on in that mechanical policeman's brain of yours. You will reveal them to me, please?
I was waiting for you to ask me that in just that way. Here we are. After you, Mr. Fletcher.
Thank you.
Now I reveal the payoff money, Fletcher. Give it to me.
Of course. I see. I thought it was curious that I should have to keep paying blackmail to a dead man. Dr. McClure is dead, isn't he?
The money, Mr. Fletcher. It's hard for me to say please.
Well, here you are. $1,000. You'll want it weekly, I presume, just as I paid it before?
That's cheap, isn't it, Fletcher, to buy off the electric chair? It's quite a toy, too, I hear.
Yes, quite. Then you know, of course, that Dorothy Rivers and I murdered Martin James.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he deserved it, you know. He swindled me out of a good deal of money.
What was Dorothy Rivers to you?
Now, you're talking like a policeman again. Dorothy Rivers was a toy, expensive and fragile. It made her all the more desirable. That and the fact that I could make her do anything I liked.
Could you bring her back to life?
What?
Hey.
No, don't get up, gentlemen. As long as I was eavesdropping, it makes me less of a lady.
That gun's not becoming either, Nurse Elliot.
Put it away, my dear. Toys like that make me nervous.
I prefer this post. Now, what were you saying, Lieutenant?
Now that you're here, I've got even more to say.
As a nurse, I'm a humanitarian, Lieutenant. You've got a minute more saying time.
A man should never lie under the circumstances, huh? And if I told you this, if I told you that you were the blackmailer instead of Dr. McClure, what would you say?
I'd say you were telling the truth.
What? Then I've been paying all that money to this...
Temper, Mr.
Well, Dr. McClure took the initial $10,000, all right, but the nurse here kept right on blackmailing you and Miss Rivers in the doctor's name. McClure found out, so he had to die.
All through, Lieutenant.
Not quite, nurse. After the blackmail, you had to kill Miss Rivers because she was about to talk to me.
Now, Lieutenant...
One more thing. If you kill me, the payoff stops. Consider it, Miss Elliot. I got $1,000 in my pocket. Half yours, half mine. It could go on and on. We could still make Fletcher pay. Think about it, Miss Elliot.
Put the money on the table, Lieutenant. Half yours, half mine.
All right. On the table.
Thanks. I'll take mine. Now.
Yeah, now, Nurse Elliot.
I'll tell you! I'll tell you!
Put your arm, nurse. Drop it. Throw up the gun. Yeah, thanks.
I'll lift it up for you, Lieutenant. I'll get the gun.
Miss this, Fletcher. Got any smelling salts for Fletcher, nurse? It took three police officers to carry Nurse Elliot away. She tore at their faces and screamed in a language she hadn't picked up in medical books. Fletcher? He was different. He settled himself in the Black Maria, pulled out a solid gold yo-yo, and played with it all the way down to headquarters. Broadway's happy now. It's got on the carnival clothes it wears every night, and the midway boils with roustabouts and yokels and hurdy-gurdy sounds. It's a jack-in-the-box, and it's a clown. It's a shining girl on horseback, or it's a geek with no arms, no legs, and no heart. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway, my beat.
Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover, is produced and directed by Gordon T. Hughes, with script by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. Musical direction is by Lud Gluskin. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station, for Broadway's My Beat. America can be proud. America is proud of the young men of our armed forces. Painstakingly trained as specialists in many fields, these servicemen will be the leaders in tomorrow's civilian life. Educational advantages open to today's servicemen are unparalleled if you can qualify. Look into the volunteer enlistment program now. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.